As Patty read those scriptures today, we focus on the love of God and true love, the love that God gives us. The Song of Solomon made it clear it's stronger than death. Many waters cannot do away with it, and a person can't buy it. It's not for sale. It's not to be bought or sold. The true love of God, as John told us, was in Him sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to the world to die for our sins. In 1 John chapter 4, we have a strong declaration and an explanation of what it means for God to love us. How that true love is expressed through the sacrifice, the sending and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 4, verses 15 through 19, we read this. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this perfect love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. Here in this passage that we have just read, John devised his defense of Christ's deity by revealing that believing in Jesus, and believing particularly that Jesus is God, is the only way that a person can comprehensively realize the full extent of God's love and completely receive the eternal presence of God in his or her heart. John said in verse 15 here, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. You know, there's some today that believe there are many ways to God, that there are many paths to heaven. We hear this quite a bit in our society. But Jesus made it clear and as well when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John affirms it right here in 1 John. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he abides in God. And so Jesus is the only way. No other confession will do right with God. No other confession will make a person right with God. No other confession of any other way will make one right with God. It's only through Jesus Christ, God's Son. If it were not true, God would not even have sent him, would he? If it were not true, if there were other ways and other avenues to God, then why did Jesus have to come and die at all? But the truth of the matter is, God knew there was no other way to himself, but through himself. And so he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins and to bridge the gap between himself and humanity. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. It's more than just saying, I believe. A confession is something that is from the very depth and the very core of an individual. It's not just saying, yes, I believe that God said who he is, that he is who he says he is. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. It's something that grips a person on the inside that can't help but overflow on the outside. That's what a confession is. When we say we confess, it's different than just saying I believe. Confession grips you from the inside to truly believe it. It's just like when Jesus said to Peter, when he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they listed off several people. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But this come from the Father. It came from the inside. Not from what you heard, but from what you are and what has grasped your heart. That's the confession that brings God into a person's life. John said it is by this confession that we, in verse 16, have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Now, John explained earlier that what Jesus did spiritually when he gave his life physically was clear evidence of this timeless attribute that is characteristic of God exclusively. He said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You know, we think we know what love is. You've heard people say over and over again, well, you don't know what love is until this, or you don't know what love is until that. But the truth of the matter is if we are people of the book and we truly believe what the Bible says, we don't know what love is until we know God. Until we have a relationship with Him, because God is love. Nothing else is love in this world. We're not love. The person over here is not love. Only God is love. And we can only love because He first loved us. We can only know what true love is and only express that in a very pure and genuine way. Only when we have God in our lives. Only when we have experienced the true love of God. Because the love of God says Jesus laid down His life for us. God so loved the world. John 3:16. He likewise referenced this when he said that in John 3:16, when he says, God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. This is how we know what love is. God gave Himself for us. It's by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that God has proven His love for us, Paul says in Romans 5:8. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. You know that great love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was love is patient, love is kind. And it goes through all those attributes and all those descriptive words about what love is. Shows us right here in Romans 5 that it was not deserving. Love is not deserving. We do not love because we deserve to love or we deserve to be loved or that person deserves our love. We love because we love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John says this is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down His life for us. So the love of God wasn't extended to us and the mercy of God wasn't given to us because we were deserving of it. Because it was His connection to us as Creator, because it was His obligation or because we had a right to be saved. God didn't have to save any of us. He didn't owe us anything. When we realize that, we will realize the true depth of God's love. When we truly realize that really we were not deserving of anything that God has ever done for us, most especially our salvation, when we will understand that and when we will acknowledge that in His sight all of what we do is filthiness, when we will acknowledge that we do not deserve God's love and grace, only then will we realize the extent and the depth and the importance of the love of God and what true love is. Love is not deserving. We can't work hard enough. We can't do enough works here on this earth to be deserving of the love of God. It's just like the prodigal son parable, right? Most undoubtedly, we understand that the prodigal son was undeserving of the father's love. He had taken the money that his father had worked for and slaved for all those years, took his half of it, went out and blew it and spent it on everything that was worldly and wicked. And then he has the gall to come back home But instead of what was deserved, which would have been when the father saw him approach, to run out and say, "Get on out of here, son. I gave you my part. You have no part here anymore." Instead of that, love took over. The son didn't have to say what he thought he was going to say. He said, "Well, you know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to say all this to my father." But he didn't have to say anything. The father ran out and hugged his son because he had true, genuine love. Love overlooks a multitude of sins. The Bible says that too. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is forgiving, not because it's deserved, but just because. So by God's great act of love, John exclaims, love is perfected with this, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, as Jesus was favored and loved by the Father, so are we. That's what John meant when he says, as he is, so also are we in this world. Jesus was loved and favored by the Father. And you can guarantee, because we belong to him, we are too. God has given us and shown us his love because he doesn't want us to have fear when it comes to eternity. He doesn't want us to say, "I hope I did good enough," because guess what? You will not ever on your best day do good enough. He doesn't want us to have to worry about this and that to say, "Well, I think I've done what I need to do to get to heaven. I think I can do this. I think I can do this. I worked hard." He doesn't want us to have to worry about those things. It's all paid in full. Boy, does that not take the pressure off of us and help us live more freely for God? To know that we're saved by his grace, not by what we do or don't do. God favors and loves us as he loved Christ. His perfect love assures those who belong to Christ of everlasting life in heaven. He says fear has to do with punishment. But whoever fears, he says, has not been perfected in love. God showed us this love and is perfected in us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. To know that love covers sins. To know that God does not look at our works and not evaluate our worth in his eyes on our works, but because of his great love for us. As it relates to our celebration of Christ's birth, there's no greater cause behind God sending his only Son to the earth than love. John affirmed this when he says in 1 John 4:9, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." So the hope, peace, and joy we experience in Jesus Christ is due to his great love for us. We have hope, we have peace, and we have joy because he loved us. And those things are rooted in his love. God is love. He created love. He created us to love him. And he has extended his love to each of us. So our challenge today is to accept and to celebrate his great love so that we might experience his love today and for all eternity.